Hey everyone, I hope you all are well. This was such a great episode with Jessica Yarbrough. She's got an amazing journey that has spanned across the globe, and you know, she helps a lot of people out on a daily basis through her free content and also with the programs that she offers. So I hope you enjoy it, and I look forward to chatting with you after. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Blaze Your Own Trail podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Mendoza, and I've got a very special guest with me today. Her name is Jessica Yarbrough. And Jessica, can you, real quick for the audience, just give everybody a quick intro about you?
Sure. Thanks for having me on the show, Jordan. I am a business strategist and growth expert, and I really focus on helping entrepreneurs to build high-value programs to translate their knowledge, their skills, their experience into consulting and educational programs, and I help them scale to high six and even seven figures.
Awesome. And so what I want to find out today is, you know, how did you actually get to where you are as a consultant and as a business strategist? So let's rewind back to elementary days. So when you were a kid, when you're in elementary school, what type of kid were you and what type of things were you into? Were you into more sports or on the academic end? Let's learn a little bit about you as a kid.
Well, I mean, I definitely did dance and that sort of thing, but I was academic for sure. I was AG. You know, AG going into, I was doing Battle of the Books bowls and history bowls and all of these competitive academic things. You know, I really wanted to help people. I spent several years volunteering in hospitals when I was really a preteen before I started working. So it gave me a lot of insight into how things run, how things operate. I learned very quickly I did not want to work in a hospital, so I was able to get rid of that dream of being a doctor and realize I could help people in other ways. So,
yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, and you know, to be that self-aware as a kid, that's huge, right? Because you didn't go down a trail that you knew you weren't going to be passionate about and wasn't going to be something you would thrive in.
Totally. Yeah. And there was, because I got a chance to work in all aspects of the hospital from pre-op to ambulatory outpatient. I mean, I kind of did it all. What I really liked was actually more of the business side of things. So that gave me a lot of insight versus the hard work that nurses do and the cleanup and the prep. I mean, my heart goes out to nurses. They're very, very special people to care for our population the way that they do, to care for total strangers like their own loved ones. It's a very heart-centered human being.
Absolutely. And so let's shift up a little bit. So that was preteen years. And did you do any of that when you were a teenager? How much further did you go into like high school years, or did it kind of stop there as far as volunteering?
Yeah, so I did that for a couple of years, and then I actually ended up getting, you know, as soon as I could work, getting paid to work, and I got a job managing a company at the age of 16, which I know sounds kind of crazy, but her name was Claudia Foltz Hawkins. She's the creator of Tutu.com. She's a world-renowned seamstress, and, you know, I managed her dance academy, dance school, and her store that she had. She had three businesses, so I started managing that company at 16. Moved to California, managed my second company right when I turned 18, managed my third company at the age of 20 or 21. So I went pretty far into, I always say that I grew up really fast and I dove into the business world at a very young age when most people were, just working at a coffee shop or something.
That is awesome. And so getting that managerial experience at a young age, would you say that it has been foundational in the things that you're doing today?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that what set me apart at a very young age is, you know, I was very driven. And, you know, whenever I stepped into any company, I was going to find a way to make it better. I cannot just go into a company and just like exist in my role. And so having that experience in different industries, having the managerial experience, creating products, I mean, all kinds of things we did was a gift. And then when I took my third job that I managed was a busy healthcare practice. And you talk about learning, 4 years of managing that practice was incredible because you dealt with attorneys and insurance and people in pain. And I think that as a manager, that is one of the easiest ways to learn all aspects of a business and to step into a leadership role. And all of that sets a great foundation for being an entrepreneur.
And so tell me about a time, and this could be maybe when you first got a management role to maybe a couple years in, but tell me about a time that conflict arose. And, you know, maybe that first time when you had to really deal with some conflict, and how did you go about handling it?
Well, I don't think I handled it very well, to be honest. When I was young, I didn't have the skill set. I believe the toughest times were an angry customer. You know, when angry customers come in to a store, sometimes they just take it out on you. So that was hard. Or people, again, in the healthcare office that are in pain, you know, they're not thinking, their emotions are skewed because of the pain they're in. And so I became better over time. I don't think I was very compassionate when I was 16 or 17, if I'm being totally honest. I don't think most 16 or 17 year olds are. And then as you go through your life experiences, one of the things I went through was I was in a really terrible car accident at the age of 19, and I actually broke my hip and I had to learn to walk again. And that right there gave me a very deep level of compassion for human beings, for people that are in pain. It gave me a greater appreciation for mobility and for the gift that we have every day. And that actually really helped me to be a better human and therefore Absolutely. A better manager.
Right. You know, that perspective is huge. And you know, for listeners out there, we've actually never had a virtual conversation like this. So this is the first time that Jessica and I have chatted, but I was also in a near-death experience, car accident at 19.
Really?
It was crazy. I was working for a sales company, and we were driving from the Bay Area, California, to New Jersey to open up a new office. And we had a caravan of about 4 cars. We were in Rawlins, Wyoming, and this is like 4:30 in the morning. So I don't know if you've been to Rawlins, anybody listening, but there is nothing to look at. It's very desolate. You've got, you know, a gas station every 50 or 60 miles. And my buddy was driving. I was in a Chevy King cab. He was driving. There was 2 passengers in the front, and I was sitting, you know, the back of those, you can either sit frontwards or sideways. And I was sideways, didn't have my seatbelt on. He falls asleep at the wheel. I was asleep at the time. He wakes up, overcorrects. We're going about 75. We slide and we flip 3 times going 75. And my buddy gets ejected. We don't know where he is. The car lands. I get out. Didn't even know I was hurt, but I had 2 cuts in my legs. One was a fist deep. Had to have laser surgery, and I got 52 staples between, was in the hospital for weeks. And again, you know, I had to figure out how to walk, like figure out how your legs move. And when you said that earlier, that it changed everything, I can 1,000% relate to that, because when you're somebody that plays sports, that can run, I was a breakdancer for 10 years. When you're into those types of things and then you can't do it.
Yeah.
Like that is mind shifting forever. Right. Yes. So I can, you know, completely relate to the things that you went through. So what was the hardest part for you? Right. So you're not able to walk, right? Mm. You're literally physically not capable to do the everyday things in life that you're normally used to. So what was the hardest part for you getting through that?
Oh man, I think it was twofold. One was the lack of freedom, you know, just, you know, having to have a walker and not being able to reach things. I didn't have one of those little reacher things. And so not having freedom and being reliant on other people. So to have to lean in as a near adult to my parents and, you know, have them help me do all the things that you need to do on a daily basis was really tough.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm glad that you made it through, right? Yes. You obviously were here for a higher purpose, right? I look at experiences like that and it's like, you know what? That's a sign that it wasn't our time.
Right.
You know, there's that, like, you know, and so those things really can send you into a greater appreciation for just for everything, for one, you know, and then, you know, as you have experiences and trials down the road, I think it really gives you that tough skin, right?
Definitely.
Knowing what you went through and being able to come out of it on the other side. So who would you say, you know, were your biggest like influencers or inspirations while you were dealing with that?
Oh man, it was so long ago. I'm like a couple decades ago. Who was I listening to at the time? I wasn't into personal development or anything. That's the thing. I wish I could say that this was my person. But I don't know if I had it. My mom was always an inspiration, but I don't know if I was listening to any influencers. But I will say that this accident was the catalyst for me diving into that in the years to come. So going down the path of yoga, listening to Eckhart and Wayne Dyer and, you know, the power to heal yourself. So it got me on that journey. But while I was in it, I definitely was just in my, you know, in the pain place. I didn't really have the meditation, yoga, personal development skills that I would later acquire and seek to acquire based on my circumstances. So it was a catalyst.
And so what would you say for the audience listening that maybe has an experience, you know, a near-death experience, or maybe they haven't been told that they wouldn't walk again? Would you say that the physical limitations or the mental limitations were harder for you?
Well, if I'm totally honest, at first it was the physical, because you are in a lot of pain. I know that you were probably in extreme pain, right? And things that like painkillers won't touch, but that only lasts so long. And so what you realize is that you have to get the mental fortitude to release the pain. At least this is how it was for me and my body. I didn't want to be on painkillers forever. This was not fun. So the doctors, I remember saying, I went to a pain management specialist and I'm like, okay, what's now? And he's like, well, you just like more drugs. And I was like, I don't want to be on drugs forever. Like, this is supposed to be a temporary thing. And some people do go down that path. They go down the path of alcoholism and being addicted to painkillers. And I knew that I didn't want that. So it then became the mental aspect of how do you move beyond this? And actually it led me to hypnotherapy. My father encouraged it because he had gone through a surgery years before, and he used hypnosis to help him kind of detach from the pain. And that hypnotherapy changed my life because she helped me to learn to release that pain, the energetic and mental trauma of a car accident and the pain that I was holding in my body. Then she kept encouraging me to be proactive and to try this thing called yoga. And that actually just set me on the path of domino effect of healing. So at first it was the pain, but it's ultimately the mental that is 90% of the battle.
That's awesome. And so how often would you say you share that story with your clients, or, you know, maybe people that you're working with, acquaintances? Because to me, it's powerful, right? Our stories aren't for us. I believe, yes. I believe they're for other people, with the hopes that maybe they would, you know, get inspired to change or to do something differently. So how often would you say you share that?
Well, I did share it. I had a retreat a couple weeks ago and I did share it with my clients because they asked me, we were in the jacuzzi together, and I always rent a big mansion. I bring out my clients and they said, what is that scar? And so that's why I mentioned it. But typically I haven't talked about it in a while. You know, I was a yoga teacher. I guess I still am. I don't act anymore. So that was part of my story for a long time, because a lot of people would come to yoga and say, I'm not flexible, or I have all these pains. And they would look at me, who had now, you know, mastered, if you could say that, all of these positions, and say, oh, that she was just naturally like that. And so I would share that story. It was like, hey guys, this is actually what yoga became very healing for me. And that became part of my story then, but I don't share it as much as I used to. Maybe I should.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's powerful, right? It's powerful when you give people that context, right? Because it's part of your journey, you know,
right.
it's part of how, you know, going through that is giving you the resiliency to have a business and to hear the no's and to, you know, when clients leave, like all of those things. I firmly believe that, you know, mentally it's helped you along your journey.
Absolutely. It definitely has helped me 100%.
And so let's talk after high school. So what'd you do after that? Were you someone that was like, yep, I definitely want to go to college, knew where you wanted to go, or were you kind of trying to figure out what the next steps were for you?
Well, I actually dropped out of high school to go full in on my my business ventures of managing companies. And then ultimately I knew I would go to college. I just kind of was done with high school. So I got my GED, went to university, studied international business while working full time, ended up studying in Spain at the University Antonio Nebrija in Madrid. And so I kind of did my own path. I'm just that person, the black sheep of my family, if you will. So I was going to do it, but I was going to do it my way. And I started consulting and ended up building a startup company right after I graduated here in San Diego.
That is awesome. Yeah. And, you know, I was one of those people that I knew in school, high school, I knew I didn't want to go to college. It just wasn't going to be for me because I didn't really enjoy school. Like the subjects I liked, I liked. And if I didn't, I didn't. I felt like I always had this thing where I just wanted to do business. I wanted to sell. Sure. I started doing sales at 14, going door to door. And you That's know, awesome. When you get that, you know, ability to communicate with people face to face, to me, there's no better experience out there.
Yeah, no, I love it. I definitely just rolling up your sleeves and doing the work is key. I mean, I'm very grateful for my college experience because it gave me the ability to speak Spanish fluently. And it really gave me more of ability to start the company in the way that I did. But it's not for everybody, and it's certainly not necessary. Like with what I do now, you know, I mean, nobody asked my whether I have a degree or not. So, sure. You know, for those of you that want to be entrepreneurs, college is not necessary. You know, it's a tool and it's one path, but there are many paths to success.
Yeah, and I think that's becoming more prevalent, you know, as the years are moving along here, because like you said, I mean, if you have some skill set or ability, like that's valuable, right? If you Absolutely. Have something that somebody else doesn't, to me, that you can do, that adds a lot of value, and people can build a business around those talents and skills and abilities.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the questions that somebody always asks me is, should I invest in these, like, you know, $10,000, $20,000 certifications, coaching certifications. And I've said this time and time again, no one has ever asked me if I had a coaching certification. I don't have coaching certifications, but I know how to build businesses and I've got outstanding results. And as long as you can solve someone's problem and get them results, they're not going to say, well, did you pay $10,000 to take a test and to be certified by this organization, or can you help me? So yeah. It's really important that you, especially as entrepreneurs, I believe that you invest in, yes, you can get education. Yes, you should invest in marketing, you know, but don't get too caught up in certifications if they're not required for your industry. Obviously, certain ones are.
Awesome. And so let's talk. After university, you now have a new language, right? So yeah. You're coming back. Did you come back to the States? What yes. was the journey and the path like into opening up or starting, right, your first business venture, your first startup?
Well, I actually started to become plugged into my mind, right, from some of my other teachers, because I said, listen, I have this background where I'm passionate about medical and I also love international business. And so some of my teachers were like, you've got to study medical tourism. So I do credit my like second year, third year people, the teachers to start to seed that. And then, you know, when I was in my last semester, I wrote a business plan for a medical tourism company, but I was missing the piece of how to really incentivize it in the insurance market. And of course I didn't have the funds to start the company, but I believe in the divine unfolding of our lives. And 3 months later, after I graduated, I met the man with the key, and he was looking for a head of marketing for his new company. And he literally had the same vision as me. which if you can predict what the odds would be that we happen to be in San Diego together and we both have the same vision, yet he had the both insurance background and the funds, you know, that he had raised, it was very fortuitous. So we built that company of 14 hospitals in 7 countries from the ground up to probably the coolest thing I've ever done. And I worked very hard, and that startup company showed me what was possible. Really, anybody who's ever worked in startup, I mean, you're preparing to be an entrepreneur if you worked in a startup, because a week is a month and you had a collapsed time really quick because you're on limited capital and investors want to see a return. So that Steve really showed me what was possible, that if I put my mind to something, I can take an idea that we literally started with no computers and some paper. We didn't even have computers or desks. And create something so quickly and so incredible that it was just mind blowing. And so that was a gift of those few years that I built that company.
That is awesome. And so, what was the next step? Right, had a lot of success. You had a 3-year training program, right? An entrepreneurship training program, it sounds like. So what happened next?
What happened next was I actually got burnt out. You know, again, young. Have no sense of how to manage my own energy at the time, working really hard, but felt I had kind of backed myself into a corner too, because I wanted this dream of traveling the world. And here I was, you know, sitting in an office and kind of grinding it out, these long, high-pressure days. And I felt that, which I'm sure many people listening can relate to this, I felt that soul connection for more. And so I actually went on vacation. I met a friend of mine who, Avelino, and I've told his story in an article I'll share with you. He's this amazing man who came from the jungles of war-torn Angola. And he's a self-made man who opened multiple stores and has traveled all over the world, and he still barely speaks English. And he was one of my friends that I met in Spain. He had told me to come to Thailand so I could watch his kind of production. He was producing goods in Thailand. For those of you talking about blazing your own trail, he was producing goods in Thailand and China before Alibaba, before this mass movement of like e-commerce. And I went there to meet him in Bangkok and watch what he was doing. Cause I was like, this is awesome. This guy has no education. He didn't finish the third grade after the third grade. And he's literally a very successful businessman. So I met him in Bangkok. I watched what he did, which was crazy. And I realized I didn't want to do that. But that time away from my company gave me something that most people don't take the time to do, which was to reflect and to like really let go of everything that's happening in your world and drop in and say, hey, what is it that I want in my life? And I called it my spiritual awakening, because I realized that even though I'm so proud and love this company that I had built, and it blew my mind that I could create this, I wanted something more and I wanted to forge my own path. And by going to Asia, I saw I could do really anything anywhere. So I went back. I didn't discuss it with anyone. It was the most empowering decision I've ever made. And I handed in my notice, gave up my shares in the company. I sold everything, walked away, bought a one-way ticket back to Asia. And I spent 4 years traveling the world, and I was a digital nomad before anybody, you know, had even coined that term. And I created opportunity wherever I went. And it was the most fulfilling thing I've ever done outside of having my daughter.
That is awesome. And so for that time that you spent exploring the world, what would you say are the top two lessons that you can share with the audience that you learned in that journey?
Well, number one, you can create opportunity wherever you go. You know, I went to Thailand. At first I was, you know, just taking a break and enjoying life. And I started running out of money, like you do if you're going to just travel. And I realized I had to, you know, figure this out. So one of the most popular things to do is to go and teach. So I started dropping my resume off at universities. I was offered a job, but at the same time, there was another opportunity that came up, and I ended up consulting for a company in Thailand that was owned by foreigners, and was so excited to have an American marketer in there to help them. So one of the lessons I would say is you can always create opportunity. It's not about even the amount of resources that you have. It's about how resourceful you can be. Like if you have a dream and you want to go do something, and you will figure out a way. So that would be the top lesson. The other one is, it's actually, there is an emotional journey that you go on when living abroad. So everybody has this dream. And so just being aware that you're going to go through the arc of excitement and then the drop of feeling sad and disconnected from your own culture. And so it's not for everyone. And it's certainly not easy to navigate being in a foreign country. So, but it will give you a grit and a resilience that people who are so used to being in the U.S. typically don't have until you go and you experience the craziness of living in the third world.
That's awesome. And so outside of Asia, or where did you go in Asia during your travels?
So my base was Thailand. I went all through Southeast Asia. I went to China. I then moved to Bali and became a yoga teacher. I know this is like totally not what we were planning to talk about, but now you're knowing my journey. So I lived in Bali for about 6 months. Said, I'm done with business. I'm not going to do this business thing anymore. I'm just going to be a yoga teacher. Came back to the U.S. and then I moved to Costa Rica, where I taught at retreat centers in the Piedras Blancas National Park. And, went all in on being a yoga teacher for 4 years.
That's awesome. And so you made it back to the States. What was the first move when you got back?
First move was, you know, establish myself as a yoga teacher. And I did, you know, I was teaching full time. And then I got pregnant with my daughter and had a, you know, come to Jesus moment, because I'd been playing around, if you will, for years, having this incredible life, you know, all over Asia and Central America, but I needed to make money. And now I had this child who was coming into the world who was going to be dependent on me. I didn't have any support from her father. So I knew I didn't want to be a yoga teacher anymore, or that to be my source of income. So I rolled up my sleeves and I said, time to, you know, create again. And I built my marketing company, my coaching company. I didn't want to get a job. I had already been down that road, and I wanted to be able to have the flexibility to do it on my terms, set my own hours, and be able to travel with my daughter, since I wasn't going to give up my dream of traveling. And that's what I did. I built it from the ground up for myself.
That is awesome. And really, it seems like all of these things that you went through, right? From, you know, preteen in the hospitals, and then managing hospitals, and then being involved in a startup, and then, you know, going to explore this journey into being a yoga instructor overseas. All of these moments, right? And folks, for the audience that's listening, like, she literally blazed her own trail, right? to get to where you are today. So I think to me, it sounds like that all of those things have literally helped prepare you. All of those moments,
yes,
like none of them were for naught. They were all part of the experience that's led you into your success today.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember a few years back, well, especially when I was totally broke and expecting my daughter, I was like, oh man, I should have been further ahead right now. This is not how I pictured it. I, you know, wanted all these things for my daughter to have. And, but now what was amazing, especially just, you know, this year, I would say ultimate reality really coming to fruition with everything and being able to check off all of those goals, you know, which are, some of those are material, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but being able to see the fruit of my labor come to bear is amazing. And every single aspect of my journey did prepare me for this moment, and it helped me to be able to navigate the challenges and maintain my own balance and my emotional state, to be able to overcome the fear of being vulnerable and putting myself out there. All of these things have made me more resilient and a better business owner.
Awesome. And I think you're bringing a lot of strengths, right? And a lot of stories, a lot of guidance for your clients, right? I mean, just being involved in a startup and then having the wherewithal to give it all up, you know, that I'm sure that wasn't easy, right? Yeah. But it probably was a very good decision for you to do that. So, so let's talk business now. So, for the audience that maybe doesn't know you, what do you do exactly for your clients, and what type of services do you offer?
So I help people translate their genius into really lucrative coaching, consulting, or education businesses. So, you know, having come from the done-for-you space, done-for-you marketing, a lot of people in that space and a lot of coaches cap themselves at $65,000-$75,000 a year. And the reason why is because they are trading time for dollars. They haven't created something high value with longer term engagement, something that puts more cash flow and predictability into their business. And so what I help them do is take a top-down approach. So instead of creating courses and ebooks and, you know, complex funnels, we simplify everything. We figure out what they really want to do, what they're really good at. And then we create high value programs, whether that's $50,000, $100,000 programs that they can go out there and sell. And still have the time freedom they want, but also create transformation in people's lives while being paid well. So we help with their credibility. I help them with their sales and marketing strategy. I help them with market positioning and messaging so that they really become in demand experts in their field.
Okay. And so this is not specific to any industry. So the audience knows, are there any industries that you don't work with, right? If someone's listening to this and they say, wow, that sounds like me. It sounds like something I need for my business, or I have this amazing idea. Are there lanes you don't go down, or is it really coaches, consultants, course creators, you know, as far as clients?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not helping people build an Amazon business. If you want to build an Amazon coaching business and teach people the aspect of it, then I do. But so some of my clients are in the leadership or executive coaching space. They're sales professionals, they're digital marketers, they are branding experts. I have a client who's a nurse educator. So we created a program to bring into senior living centers. Anybody who's in the business of serving others and wants to do the coaching consulting aspect of it, this is a fit for you.
Okay. And so if someone were to work with you, right, someone's listening to the show, they say, you know what, wow, she's been through a lot. She sounds like somebody that would definitely be a reliable source when it comes to building a business with all your experience.
Sure.
What would a typical, and you don't have to share all the secrets, but just to give the audience a little bit of value of what to expect if you know, in the onboarding process with you as their coach.
Well, there's two different, I think it's important to discern. There's two different kinds of clients I work with. The first ones are trying to get to, say, 150 to 200,000 a year. So what we're going to do is we're going to really dial in their marketing offers, messaging, positioning, lead gen, sales strategy. That's the first one. The second type of client that comes to me as someone who is already making like 300,000 or so a year, and they want to get to 1 million. So obviously the first stage for them is we are going to dial in their marketing and streamline, but then we're working on scalability. So the first thing we have to do, regardless of the two different ways that you might come into to work with me, is we have to get clear and we have to get focused. So clarity on what do you want? What do you want? Not just in terms of money, because it's more than money. At least people coming to me, it's worth more than, it's more than money. A lot of them are coming, even people that are making a lot of money come to me and it's like, okay, I want to make more, but I actually want to do less. So I want to look at what they're doing so we can streamline. I want to reverse engineer what their goals are so that we know how to build a plan and then set interim goals to get there and execute on a strategy to take them there over the next 12 months.
Awesome. And so are most of your programs, when you work with clients, are they 12-month programs?
Yes. Yes. I work with people because I don't believe in what I call churn and burn programs. You know, like create a webinar, throw some money at Facebook ads, and suddenly, you know, you're rich. Those kinds of things that really set people up for failure, because if you are going to build a business, no matter what anyone says, it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It doesn't mean that you won't succeed in the short term. I mean, I've had clients generate anywhere from $30,000 up to $250,000 within a month of working with me. So we can get some quick wins, but we're talking about scaling a business, and you have to build out things that take time. And so we need to work together over a year so that we can fine tune and optimize, so that I can help you navigate what I call CEO growing pains, because every level of income brings new opportunity and a whole other new set of challenges. And you're trying to build, and every time you're building, something else is breaking, whether that's your funnels or like your client delivery or whatever. And so we have to be able to navigate, and you need someone who can partner with you and navigate through those challenges so that you don't start to go backwards rather than forward.
Awesome. No, that makes a whole lot of sense. And so would you say most of your clients are like solopreneurs, not no employees, or is it a pretty good mix of people that might have a couple people to 10, 20 people on their team?
Yes. I mean, most of my clients are in the solopreneur to like three employee space. I do have a client who hired me to take her from 7 to 8 figures, and she has 200 employees. So,
okay,
you know, it varies, but we still have to apply the same marketing principles, the sure. foundation, and then the scalability piece comes into play.
Awesome. And so for everyone that's listening out there, where is the best place if they want to get in touch with you? You know, they listen to this, they say, wow, that sounds like a program I want to be involved with. Where's the best place that they can find Jessica, whether that's your website or I know you're on Facebook, you've got a Facebook group and some other yes. places. So where are the best places to get a hold of you if somebody says, you know what, I want to book a meeting to just get a little more context on what she does?
Well, you can definitely book a call with me at jessicayarbrough.com. Follow me on LinkedIn. I'm constantly, as you know, Jordan, that's how we know each other. I'm dropping, you know, articles and live stream trainings and giving a ton of value away to my audience for free. And you can also download my high-end sales masterclass. I'm Jordan. I gave you the link, and that's really how to close high-paying clients over the phone. And watch that training, and you'll learn more about what I do and some of the results and how I work in that training as well.
Very good. Very good. So what are, just in closing here, what would you say to somebody that, you know, they have an idea, they think like they've got a great idea, but maybe they don't actually have experience deploying their content, right? Maybe they've created a deck or they've created some information. What would you say to them? Would it be to book a call with you to brainstorm, or is there some action they can take? Maybe they don't have the funds to get started right away.
Right.
So what would you say to them is kind of crucial into, you know, taking the initial step?
Well, the first thing I want you to do is to follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, watch my trainings and get some results. I do not work with total beginners. I can, it's just not who I choose to work with. And when you hit that $50,000, $60,000, $75,000 range and you're ready to scale up what you're doing to double, triple, quadruple, then come to me. Other than that, it's just premature because my programs are a big investment, but they have tremendous ROI potential. And so we've got to, you need to be in the right place before you come to me. So make sure you go and consume my free content. I've had people get incredible results from my free stuff. And then when you're ready to get serious and take it to the next level, then book a call.
That is awesome. Well, hey, listen, I really appreciate your time today. You've definitely dropped a ton of value for the audience. So thank you so much. And everybody, make sure you go follow Jessica on LinkedIn, on Facebook, and all the other platforms. I'll make sure we put all that info down in the show notes. So Jessica, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
You too. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the episode with Jessica Yarbrough. Make sure you reach out and connect. She's got a ton of energy and passion, and she's really good at what she does.
Hey, I also want to take this opportunity to say thanks so much for your support of the show. If there's anyone that you know that listens to podcasts as well, make sure you let them know about this show because we want to make sure we can add value to as many people as possible. And also, if you haven't already, make sure that you rate the show and give us a review. We'd really appreciate that. And I hope all is well wherever you are in the world. Take care.